This short podcast is intended to give you advice on how to do well in your MBCHB exams, or at least how to avoid failing them. One of my duties as director of Year 1 is to meet with anyone who's failed to give them advice for the resits. Doing this for almost a decade now has given me some insight into the most common reasons that theoretically bright and able students can end up failing, and in the worst cases, being excluded from the course. The success of some students in turning initial failure into later success has also given me some insight into what works. These are the things that I want to share with you now. Before going into details, I just want to stress two points. One, the pass-fail boundary is fixed long before the exams are taken, and we do not adjust marks to fail a certain percentage of students. It's perfectly possible for everyone to pass, and we staff really wish you all would, because the resit system wastes many hours of our time that could far better be spent planning classes, treating patients, or doing medical research. 2. Every student who enters the course will have a strong background just like yours. Please do not think that your success in school means that you're somehow immune from problems at university. Even graduates in other topics have been known to struggle badly when they start medicine. Actually, this last point, complacency arising from past success, is one of the recurrent themes I come across when I meet people who fail exams, especially those who fail even the resits and are therefore facing exclusion. Time and time again I hear people telling me that they were real high flyers and could always succeed through their natural brilliance. A little probing reveals that these students' self-identification as high flyers is based mainly on getting A grades at GCSEs, highers and A levels, and very often being by far the brightest person in school. Folks, I'm afraid that the intellectual demands of students by British schools are far from stretching, and a bunch of A's indicate that a student probably has the competence to thrive at university if they work hard, that's all. As for being a high flyer, well, I sometimes do meet school pupils who might be regarded as medical high flyers, like the group of high school students who use synthetic biology techniques to genetically engineer bacteria to warn of water contamination, or the sixth form student who invented a shorter chemical synthesis for an important malarial compound, or someone who used his summer holiday to write software to assess all entries in the Kemble database against predicted structures of the Zika virus, and found two hits that are now being pursued by an agency of the World Health Organization. That's what a high-flying school pupil actually looks like. And, by the way, most of these individuals viewed the demands of a medical course with trepidation. Please follow that example and understand that while you do have the ability to thrive if you work hard, you do need to work hard from the very beginning. Another common feature of people who crash in exams comes to light when I ask to see their lecture notes, which I do to see if I can suggest any improvement in their note-taking technique. The most common response I receive is to be told that the student did not take lecture notes, but instead printed off slides from eMEC and annotated them. Or worse, wrote nothing but relied on the lecture slides for everything. Just to be clear, lecture slides exist to illustrate what a lecturer is telling you. Her words generally carry much more information than the slides. So take notes. Yes, you'll have to write quickly. That's how doctor's writing gets to be the way it is. But you will capture everything. You'll also be able to capture the spirit of most diagrams that way. For any really complicated ones, leave space so you can stick in a copy of that slide from eMEC. When I was a student, I always used hardback A4 books for my lecture notes, so everything stayed safe and in order and did not get randomised by exploding lever files. The idea of paper may cause some of you to smirk. Before you switch to a laptop or tablet, try making notes, for example from a TED talk on YouTube, on paper and on the electronic device, and make sure that the electronic device is not actually slowing you down. Most do, especially where diagrams are concerned. If you missed some point in the lecture and you know you did, do feel free to ask the lecturer at the end, or email them, or put the question on the eMEC forum. At the end of the week, review your lectures. Don't just read your notes passively, but transform the information, perhaps into a mind map or a drawing or a list or, well, anything really that gets you to think about it. One final thing about electronic devices. When I sneak into the back of a lecture theatre, I'm amazed at how many screens seem to show the page of a well-known social network site. If you come to the lectures, listen. If you choose to learn some other way, good luck, you're allowed to do this. Don't, though, spend lecture time on Facebook and then tell yourself you attended the lecture on the grounds that you happen to be sitting in the room. Here's something more positive. One of the most powerful revision techniques, and one that's done wonders in turning results around, is forming a question club with friends. Every week, each person writes a few multiple choice questions, and then they all meet over coffee or whatever and try each other's questions. You gain four ways. Writing the questions is good active revision. Trying the questions of others is good revision. Arguing about why a question is badly formed or wrong is also good revision. Finally, you get some insight into how the questions work and the types of knowledge that can be tested most easily by them. EMEC now hosts an online system for this called Peerwise, but the feedback I get from real students is that a small group of friends, with added caffeine perhaps, works best of all. Note you have to do this for yourselves. You're grown-ups, and we're not going to tell you when and where to do your private study. Something else positive. Do take the formative exam seriously. One dangerous consequence of the I'm a high flyer syndrome is that many students don't revise for the formative tests, so feel no alarm if they happen not to do well and miss a warning sign that could otherwise see them going to their personal tutor for urgent study advice. Pretty much everyone who failed the real exams got a low mark in the formative exam first. Everyone we admit to the medical school is an intelligent and able individual whom we sincerely believe to be capable of becoming a good doctor. Your journey to that goal is a partnership. We provide you with experience and with teaching. You need to provide yourself with a lot of very hard work. In particular, you need to keep visiting and revisiting the material you meet so that you can remember it and link it together. I'm afraid there are no shortcuts to this. It's what would be in your brain, not what's in your textbooks, that will one day entitle you to call yourself doctor. Good luck, and I hope you enjoy the challenge.